No problem. All righty, we are back in session. Donna, are we good? Fantastic. We got a thumbs up from Donna. We're going to take on item number 15, with this, which is a Klamath TMDL implementation update. Mr. Clayton Krieger.
Chairman Noren, fellow board members, Clayton Krieger with the Klamath TMDL implementation lead. I'm here today to provide you with an update on progress towards implementation of the Klamath River TMDLs and to describe some of the remaining challenges. Before, I'd like to take a moment. Steve Kirk of Oregon Department of Environmental Quality was going to be here today. However, he is homesick and is unable to be here. But I wanted to acknowledge that, you know, this is truly a collaborative effort. I attended some of his public hearings and meetings, and he agreed to be here, or asked if he could be here today to support us on this report. So he's unable to be here. I have two of my other team members I'd like to acknowledge. Gail Louie of US EPA Region 9, who you're all very familiar with, and Sue Keidel of EPA Region 9. And I wouldn't be where I'm at today, the progress we've made with all three of those people, if they hadn't been involved over the last year. So just wanted to acknowledge that. If we could have the, let's see, do I? Sure. Okay, this is a presentation overview, and the Klamath has both traditional and non-traditional elements to its implementation strategy, and I, of course, will be focusing on the non-traditional, but I will be covering many of the traditional components as well. But there's a reason why for this strategy, and I'll be getting into that. There's also a very important process that's going on right now in which we have been spending a fair amount of staff time on, so I wanted to explain that process and its implications for the Klamath TMDL, and that's the KHSA, KBRA, secretarial determination process. This strategy is evolving to a new approach in implementation, and we're calling it the Watershed Stewardship Framework, and I wanted to give a little background information on that and where we're going with it. And then I'm going to give a summary of our implementation activities and kind of leave you with some conclusions and challenges. I wanted to, let's see, which one of these is the, that's it. Okay, I wanted to revisit this again because just to familiarize you again with the Klamath, of course you're familiar that many TMDLs within the Klamath, and the most recent is, of course, the Main Stem. And the Main Stem, it was a comprehensive TMDL from there at the outlet of Upper Klamath Lake through to the estuary. And along that, we have TMDLs that are active for implementation is active for the Trinity River, the Salmon River, the Scott, and the Shasta, and the Lower Lost and the Upper Lost. And so we have a very comprehensive set of TMDLs within the basin, and therefore this lends itself to an integrated strategy for all of these. The impairments for the Main Stem and for the others as well are nutrients, low dissolved oxygen, temperature, and organic matter as it's related to low dissolved oxygen. And in addition to that, in the reservoirs, and downstream of the reservoirs, we have, it was listed for microcystin, which is the toxin component of the blue-green algae microcystis. So just one more point here, just to remind you that the Crater Lake is part of this watershed. It's a very large watershed, and as you can see, it's across the state line. And remember, the Klamath River is the upside-down river. It's a very low gradient, very different type of environment up here in the upper watershed, and it gets a steeper gradient and much more water below the state line, below the dams. 20% of the flow originates from the upper basin. 80% of the pollutants originate in the upper basin. 80% of the flow, 20% of the pollutants. And so our strategy has to be lend itself to a comprehensive basin-wide approach if we're going to see water quality improvements in the state of California. So these slides explain a lot about the sources of pollutants, the magnitude and nature of the challenge of restoring water quality in the Klamath Basin, and it's why a comprehensive strategy is needed. The Upper Klamath Lake is an important driver of water quality in the system, as I mentioned. And peer-reviewed research on the sediments of Upper Klamath Lake tells us that coincident with large-scale land use changes, we see a shift in species composition of the algae, we see increased nutrient levels, and we see declining water quality conditions. And those land uses included really uncontrolled logging in the Eastern Cascades and the onset of the Klamath Reclamation Project, where you saw a lot of land uses that were retaining nutrients, marshes and wetlands, being replaced by land uses that were exporting nutrients, those being irrigated agriculture. This map comes from a U.S. Bureau of Reclamation study done in 2005 on the natural flows of Upper Klamath River. And what it illustrates on the left here is the extent of freshwater wetlands and marshes prior to these developments and these activities compared to today. And that's about a loss of approximately 70%, 75%. And it had very significant implications for water quality. In addition, during that period of time, we saw large amounts of nutrient-rich sediments. It is a nutrient-rich watershed. And all that means is that our margin for error, our margin for impact, is much smaller. Well, we've exceeded that margin by quite a ways. But a lot of that nutrient-rich sediment now resides in the sediments of Upper Klamath Lake and continues to generate massive nuisance blue-green algae blooms. And so there's a legacy pollutant load there that nobody owns, and there's a lot of loss of ecosystem function that we have to deal with if we want to see water quality improvements in the state of California. So next slide, please. And so I just also wanted to show for Lower Klamath Lake, it's this same case, except even greater extent in terms of loss of wetlands, which has been replaced really by a fairly extensive network of irrigation and return to the Klamath River. Okay. So we have a basin-wide implementation strategy, and it was really laid out in a memorandum of agreement that we signed with U.S. EPA Region 9 and 10, and Oregon Department of Environmental Quality in 2009. And we've been working with our partner, Synthen. And our plan closely follows the plan that we described to you. You'd be glad to hear that, in the TMDL implementation plan.
Nice coincidence.
But there are two components to this that I'd like to highlight. One of them is the development of programs to work with, you know, individual entities on a site-by-site basis using traditional non-point source and best management practices. You'll be hearing later from Ben Zabinski regarding the irrigated lands discharge program. This is part of the TMDL implementation, is that program. Another part of it is it's what I call high risk but high return, and that's the large-scale pollutant reduction projects to address those legacy pollutants and the lost ecosystem functions in the upper basin. And that's the part I'm going to focus on with you today because you're less familiar with what we've been doing there. We will talk a little bit about the traditional practices as well. Okay, I mentioned an overlay, and I didn't know quite where to put this in the presentation. And it's the secretarial determination process, which is made up of the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement and the Klamath Basin Restoration Agreement. And those agreements are moving forward through an EIS-EIR. The regional board, as you know, are not signatories to that agreement. However, we've participated in the planning and assessment. We're a cooperating agency with Cal Fish and Game on the EIS-EIR. So I'm a member of the water quality sub-team and have been helping formulate the EIS-EIR and response to comments. We were also a commenter. So, of course, I didn't respond to my own comments, but we've been actively participating with the federal team as part of this process. The EIS, I did want to mention something, though, and there was very much an independent science process, and that is the secretarial determination process. We did not participate in that. It was independent. But they did review and then choose to use the findings that were in the TMDL technical staff report, along with many other lines of evidence. And all of those lines of evidence are consistent and supportive of the findings of the TMDL staff report on the findings relative to water quality impacts of dams and the water quality improvements that are possible. Because I know you've heard a lot of conflicting information about, one, whether the dams do play a role in determining water quality on the Klamath River, and also whether or not there is potential for improvement in water quality. So, I mean, this is yet one more line of evidence that supports, you know, our technical staff report. Next. So, along with the secretarial determination process, which, you know, is uncertain, you know, it will, there, the secretarial determination may be delayed until later in the summer. The fate of the enabling legislation is unknown. And so we're having to conduct our TMDL implementation on two tracks, just as we did for the technical TMDL development, dams in, dams out. I don't really know, but we have to be prepared for either. So along with KHSA and the secretarial determination, this is a complex diagram, and I don't expect you to understand all the acronyms, and this is only a partial listing of the concurrent activities. But it's an important part of our strategy because we are trying to leverage our resources with the resources that others are committing to the basin for what we believe to be common environmental outcomes and common management actions. And so I would like to highlight a couple of these. One of them is tribal stewardship. The tribes have been very actively managing their lands along the lines of very supportive of TMDL goals through land acquisition, through road decommissioning, and other projects. They've been huge in terms of the monitoring program. They're a big part of many of the other elements I'll be describing to you. And I just wanted to note that we're continuing to work alongside them and with them in TMDL implementation. I also wanted to point out the OWEB, and I'm sure you're not familiar with that acronym. It's the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. It's a state agency in Oregon funded by lottery funds, and they are meeting this week to determine whether or not to make a $400,000 investment in restoration and water quality activities within the Klamath Basin. Now, we don't know the outcome of that board vote, but it's on their radar screen as a priority project. And that's, again, another example of, by coordinating with them, we'll be able to leverage the resources that we have available really towards a common water quality goal. Next slide, please. So what is watershed stewardship, and why are we transitioning to that? Well, with all those other concurrent activities, they all don't want to call their activities, oh, we're being consistent with the TMDL. So what we're trying to do is cast a framework that is a bigger tent. And it's based on the premise that we can achieve diverse outcomes from a common management approach. It's also based on that we share common environmental outcomes. You may call it a healthy fishery. We call it a beneficial use. So through that effort, with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and others, we are starting to push the idea of careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care, because this also appeals to the private entities who want to manage their lands, you know, in the smartest way possible. So it's, yes, it's pushing to the back sort of the regulatory language, but the goals and the objectives are still the same. And so we had an initial meeting in Klamath Falls, and we had over 45 attendees of irrigation districts, the tribes, many of the same cast of characters up and down the river from the entire watershed, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality. And we discussed this concept of stewardship and common environmental outcomes and collaborating on common management objectives. and it was very well received. And we'd be farther along with it if we had more staff time to do the necessary follow-up work. But we're very encouraged, and we will be continuing to develop this concept of watershed stewardship. So I just wanted to illustrate for you, this is essentially a condensation of Table 4-18 out of the TMDL implementation plan, where we identified sort of specific locations and responsible parties. And throughout the year and throughout this watershed stewardship approach, we're focusing on these sources, and we're working closely with these responsible parties, just not in the same manner in which it was described in the implementation plan. State line is a euphemism for sources above from Oregon. You know, it's from all sources in Oregon. And I have been spending a lot of my time and effort in working and collaborating with people within Oregon. And part of this presentation is really to give you a heads up that someday I'm probably be coming before you, if I still work here, asking for money for a water quality project in Oregon to improve water quality in California. I know that's not probably a very popular concept right now, but realistically, we will have to contribute to progress in Oregon if we want to see water quality improvements in California. Next slide. Next slide. This is just more of okay. So how are we approaching this traditional part of the TMDL? Well, we have some ongoing programs. We have some emerging programs. You'll be hearing about the first one in the next presentation from Ben Zabinski, the Irrigated Lands Discharge Program. We are working very closely internally, coordinating. I talk with Ben all the time because for many reasons. One, we want to ensure that in the consideration of their program, that they're considering the TMDL targets and allocations in terms of how their program will be implemented. But also, we're talking to the same stakeholders, and we have to be very careful that we don't overload or talk at cross purposes in the development of these programs. And so we're doing that. And with the timber unit, how are you going to implement the TMDL watershed-wide allocation of site potential shade? Well, we're talking about that so that when they're on the ground working with their constituents, the people and the practitioners, they're speaking consistent with the TMDLs that are active. Next. So here are some of the other elements in which we're leveraging dollars from other sources that are not permanent sources, but we're making good at, with those resources while they're available. And they're not programs necessarily that are regional water board programs, but we have planted the seed. We're actively working on it. For example, the Klamath Basin Monitoring Program. I am the chair for this year for the Klamath Basin Monitoring Program. And I'm going to describe in a little bit more detail these, because these are kind of they're laying the groundwork for the large-scale projects that I mentioned earlier. Next slide. So the Klamath Basin Monitoring Program, what this is, this map is, these dots on the map are entities that are reporting into the Klamath Basin Monitoring Programs. These are the members here on the site, a partial listing of the members. These were members as of 2005. And essentially what we've done for the first time is developed a coordinated system of monitoring within the Klamath Basin, and it's all done voluntarily. And so we collaborate on sampling schedules, sampling protocols, analytical protocols, data management procedures, and we also have a web information portal in which information that everybody's interested in can make easy access to. In addition, we're beginning to think about how we can better use this very comprehensive data set that we're developing to better inform adaptive management within the Klamath Basin. And part of that is this watershed stewardship assessment reports that we'll be conducting on a sub-basin basis. And we just recently, at our KBUMP meeting, I put out a call for sub-basin entities to be the lead for the watershed assessment report subbasin, and the Shasta RCD board voted to be the lead for the Shasta Valley watershed assessment report. I mean, it just shows the level of acceptance of KBUMP and the value of having a program that is collaborative and is not owned by any one entity. Another one of those programs not owned by any one entity, but without EPA and the Regional Water Board's help and work on, would not be here, is the Klamath Basin Water Quality Improvement Tracking and Accounting Program, known as CLAMTAP. And you can see here some of the charter members up here listed. That's the National Fish and Wildlife Federation, EPA, the Water Boards, Oregon DEQ, the Willamette Partnership, PacifiCorps, and Klamath Watershed Partnership, which is a citizens-based environmental program in the Upper Basin. In addition to that, the Nature Conservancy's on board and others. And this is somewhat closely aligned with KBUMP in that it's a tracking and accounting. We want to be able to measure the benefits of restoration and water quality projects throughout the basin. So you need a system for tracking and accounting for that. So that's one function. Another function is to certify projects so that they can be available. You quantify the benefits from a project, and credits from that become available for purchase by either parties like the Nature Conservancy that are looking to do just for, that's part of their mission, or somebody may have a requirement for an offset. An example of that would be PacifiCorps, which, as you recall, their allocation calls for nutrient reductions upstream of the reservoirs in order to offset the reduced assimilative capacity within the reservoirs. So CLAMTAP would provide them with a mechanism for purchasing, say, a treatment wetland above J.C. Boyle to offset their TMDL allocation. The project would be independently certified by CLAMTAP, and its implementation and maintenance would be monitored through CLAMTAP. And that would be accounted for, that reduction would be accounted for as a water quality, towards the water quality objectives in the TMDL. So it's not a TMDL program. It will be independently certified, and it's, but it does achieve TMDL goals and objectives. So, Bill?
It's a very good idea.
Yeah.
TMDL, you scare half of them away.
Well, you're that's exactly the point. I probably spent too much time on it. So this next slide is that we have been working very hard on ensuring that if you're setting up a transparent and consistent organization, but it's not a regional board entity. We want to ensure that the tools they use to certify projects are very good. And so this last year, we've been setting up the procedures and the tools for which CLAMTAP will operate. And we're within 6 months of a draft protocols document. And within that 6 months, we're going to be moving into a pilot phase. We're looking for a couple of projects right now. We have some promising leads. I'd rather not mention them right now because there's some sensitivity about they're not completely under contract yet. So we're very hopeful for having some projects to demonstrate the utility of this program. Oh, and one other important point is that right now the objectives are really water quality based. The tradable options would be TN, trackable options would be TN, TP, total nitrogen, total phosphorus, organic matter, temperature. But we're looking for other expansion, if the pilot process goes well, into flow, water, and other fish habitat. You know, anything that could be traded within this system if you have an ability to certify and quantify it. Okay. Another important element, and this is funded by PacifiCorps as part of the interim measures under the Klamath Hydroelectric Settlement Agreement. It's interim measure 10. It's one of the things that we pushed for. We were not signatories, but when asked what we wanted, we asked for this and we were given this. It was, we were given 100, or Pacific Corps, it was required to put up $100,000 to fund this water quality workshop. And what we did is we went out and found matching funding for that from the California Coastal Conservancy. And in that process, we were able to transfer management of the project to the California Coastal Conservancy. And so that money has been transferred to the California Coastal Conservancy, and they are the managers of the project at this point. What we're doing is setting up a transparent and cooperative strategy for evaluating a whole series of these large-scale projects, things like large treatment wetlands, organic matter removal from Keno Reservoir, natural wetland restoration, small treatment plants for discharge from Klamath Straits drain. These things will be evaluated. There'll be 100 regional experts invited to this workshop. They'll be provided a pre-workshop report that describes these project options. They will be given a common set of evaluation criteria. And after the workshop, those projects that receive a suitable rating would then go to, through a 30% design process. So the final product of this particular project is a 30% design document, which will really help be the next step in before engineering feasibility analysis and implementation. It'll give people a better idea of what we can do to start really tackling some of these legacy pollutant issues. The next interim measure is interim measure 11, and it probably should have preceded 10, but the numbering wasn't really logical. But what it is water quality projects, pilot water quality projects. So some of the projects that will be evaluated as part of IM10 are being undertaken on a trial basis under interim measure 11. There's quite a bit more money involved with this one. Essentially, it's $250,000 a year for 2 years for the initial design phase for these projects that you see here listed: Klamath Tracking and Accounting Program, Treatment Wetlands, In-Reservoir Water Quality Control Technologies, and Organic Matter Removal from Keno Reach. We find some of these water quality pilot projects, we had less control over this. Some of them we had already reviewed and had not given a very favorable review, but some of these we're very excited about, and some very good work is being done. And that information will be fed into the pre-workshop document as projects that will be considered for scaling up to a larger scale. Interim measure 15 is a monitoring. It's a baseline trends and public health monitoring program funded by Pacific Corps. A lot of those dots on the map you saw from Link River to the estuary on the main stem, a lot of those are being maintained right now as a result of funding from this. This is the project that allows us to do the extensive public health monitoring for blue-green algae as well on the reservoirs and below the reservoirs. There's $50,000 a year granted for that public health monitoring component. So just some conclusions and challenges to think about. You know, the technical analysis is supported by consistent with the technical findings of the draft EIS-EIR. That's really good news for us. The bad news is that challenges on the technical analysis continue from certain parties. And in fact, Oregon DEQ is undergoing a process right now called reconsideration. Their TMDL is still being implemented under departmental order, but it has not been approved by Region 10 until the outcome of this reconsideration process is known. Region 10 is prepared to approve the TMDL as is. They simply don't want to approve a TMDL and then have to turn around and reapprove it if it undergoes some reconsideration to the extent that would require resubmittal. So Steve is proceeding with implementation, but the outcome of the reconsideration process is yet unknown. There's the unknown fate of the dams, which requires a two-track implementation program. It really doubles the kind of work. It lends a lot of uncertainty to, you know, what the future of the river is and how we should proceed. It's a very big difference between having the dams in and dams out as to how the TMDLs will be implemented. And the fate of the secretarial determination is really unknown, the fate of the legislation. It faces a very rocky road to fruition. Oh, but one note on that is the FERC process is still in place. It's in abeyance right now. But within the state of California, given if there's a failure of the secretarial determination process, the consideration for the dams will go back into the FERC process, and that process will be managed by the state board. They will need to come, as part of that certification process, they will need to apply for a 401 water quality certification permit, which means they have to abide by the water quality objectives and standards and allocations and targets set up in the TMDL. Mm-hmm. So one way or the other, we'll get there. The good news is that we've successfully leveraged our activities for TMDL implementation through several of these initiatives and partners. However, our current level of activities are not sustainable and not feasible based on current, you know, available resources if this leveraging goes away. If KHSA goes away, we've lost a lot of our leverage dollars. That's when Klamath Tap becomes so much more critical, because it provides the mechanism for different entities to collate their money, their resources, towards big projects. Those big projects, no one agency or entity will be able to implement them, and that's where Klamath Tap will provide us with a mechanism to allow us to consolidate funding from different sources. The Watershed Stewardship Framework is kind of our safety net. It allows us to continue building that partnership throughout the basin. It's an opportunity for comprehensive progress. It really requires an unprecedented level of collaboration. And so you'll be, anytime I'm giving a presentation, you know there's a lot of people behind me in terms of getting things done on the Klamath. It's going to require that. So I hope we've given you a glimpse of an implementation strategy that works from the mountains, that's Miller Island and the Klamath Wildlife Refuge, to the sea, that's, of course, the very familiar estuary, Klamath River Estuary.
You've been a busy man, Clayton.
Well, like I said, there's a lot of partners on this team that just
Absolutely.
Aren't here today.
It's actually very gratifying to see that all that work that went into TMDL actually leveraged. It was leveraged into actually the position here, given the uncertainty of the dam situation and that whole thing up there. Actually, it's interesting to find this whole thing in play and you being such a player in the middle of it with the process, and that's very gratifying. I mean, that's a big deal right there.
This has been very gratifying work, because I feel like we're making progress.
It validates everything that staff did, everything the board did, and everything that, you know, we did legally and everything. That's just amazing. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any board questions or comments, Mr. Massey?
I laugh because I'm reminded of 19th century authors and such things as Brer Rabbit, don't throw me in a briar patch. It is just absolutely marvelous to see the inventiveness of people like you, and obviously you have cohorts that are in this, to get the job done. Whatever it takes, we'll do it. So you don't want to call it TMDL? Cool. We'll call it something else. For those of us that have spent much of our life around the Klamath, this is just wonderful. From the 70s when, you know, fishing for half-pounders, and everybody knew there was a problem, too. Now we'll actually take it on. Keep it up. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, that's a good point, because if KHSA falls apart, you know, if the secretarial determination does not come to be, the partnerships, you know, all the work that went into building that agreement, it doesn't go away. There are a lot of people who've developed a lot of common understanding of each other's commitment and, you know, outcomes that we can still build on if that goes away.
Other board member comments, questions?
Mr. Hill? I say we'll keep good thoughts for the OWEB funding.
Thanks. Clayton, thanks. Come back and talk to us again. All right, we're going to quickly roll into item number 16, which is Ben.